So you're seeing ISIS in Iraq and Syria pivot towards more of an insurgency organization, which is, of course, how it initially began around 2003 or so in Iraq. Obviously, ISIS is looking at other countries that it can possibly exploit the situation to move manpower, to move its operations, to try and claim territory. I think of somewhere like Libya that may be as an example of that. And I think that you're seeing the tempo of attacks and plots in the West slightly plateau while we are at this interim period where ISIS begins to recalibrate itself after the loss of the caliphate and try and assess what its strategy is in the West going forward. Of course, Al-Qaeda is all the time in the background. It's looking strong in Yemen, certainly. In Syria, it has significant amounts of manpower, and of course in Somalia. So the picture across the world, I think, is diverse. It's changing constantly. The threat is transforming constantly. And that's why the US and its partners need to be on top of this all the time to try and assess best the way to handle those various hotspots.
Well, the US has said that it's changing focus a bit in terms of national security. The terrorism problem is no longer the number one thing. Now the number one thing is China, Russia, and the big powers of the world. What's your view on how that'll play?
Even if this pivot is taking place, focusing more on grand strategy and competitors like China and Russia, I think that a lot of the structures that are put in place in the US after 9/11 in terms of defending the homeland, they're obviously going to remain. There's still huge amounts of resources in the US dedicated to counterterrorism. There's a very, I think, dedicated focus on preventing not just attacks like 9/11, which of course the US has had success in doing, but also the Halloween-style attacks where you saw one radicalized guy with a van kill people in New York. I think the nature of the terrorist threat today and the impact, the psychological impact it has, means that even if the US is making somewhat of a rebalancing approach to great power politics, it means that there's no way they can ever ignore the terrorism problem because it impacts so many parts of the world now.
As you know, the US is making this slight pivot, and as you say, the systems will remain in place and intact because it took a lot of money to do all this, and it's such a big part of the U.S. Industrial complex now. So what's your message, though, to ordinary people?
Well, I think that the message would be that, as ever, terrorism shouldn't dictate how people live their lives. I always say that nobody should be put off from visiting Europe, for example, because of the possibility of an attack taking place in one of the countries there, even though the threat is very real. Obviously, it is also a low probability event that you would be impacted by a terrorist attack. But also, people should be vigilant and be aware that just because the US government is maybe prioritizing different areas at the moment, such as China, such as Russia, that doesn't mean that the terrorists have any less desire to attack the US people than they did any time in the previous couple of decades, at least. So the enemy gets a vote in this. And so even though the US may be changing its priorities, I promise that the priorities for ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the various Islamist terrorist groups operating today remain exactly the same. That's why we need vigilance. We need authorities to continue their focus on counterterrorism operations. We need funding for counterterrorism operations, and we need to try and dismantle the ideology. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done on all fronts.
Last thing, we haven't heard anything at all lately about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, have you?
No. Well, you hear the occasional rumor that he was injured in airstrikes. Of course, always almost impossible to assess the validity of these claims. They come from various defectors or from the Russians, and very hard to get actually proper, decent sourcing on this. So it would appear that he's still alive for the moment. obviously his death would be a very welcome development in the war with ISIS, although I think allowances and backup plans will be in place within ISIS if and when that does happen. But yeah, we must continue to pursue Baghdadi, and his death or his capture would be a very welcome development in the war on terror.
Robin Simcox, Margaret Thatcher Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, G.G. Green, WTOP News.